William has been thinking about our hunt for E.T., and he's written in to The Naked Scientist. It's chris@nakedscientist.com, and he says this.
Am I right in thinking Goldilocks' theory now maintains there are hundreds of parameters, such as the exact diameter of Earth, exact gravitation, atmospheric composition, distance from the sun, magnetic field, and so on, which, if even slightly different, would make life on Earth impossible? If so, doesn't this make the search for exoplanets a bit futile?
Nice question, Chris. So, yes, as Chris said, the Goldilocks zone, which is the area we inhabit, the area the Earth inhabits, we are the perfect distance from the sun. We have stability, gravitational stability, so Earth doesn't wobble around in its orbit around the sun thanks to the moon sitting there orbiting around the Earth. We have a magnetic field. Now, this is very important for life. So the magnetic field gives us this magnetosphere, which is this like a protective magnetic bubble around the Earth, which protects us from particles, charged particles from the sun, stops us getting zapped. And yeah, we're pretty much the right size. So everything about Earth is great. That doesn't necessarily mean...
Not everything.
I mean, we haven't got time to go into all the things that are wrong right now. Let's talk about all the things that are great physically with the Earth. So it is great for life. That doesn't necessarily mean that other places aren't great for life. It's just that life might be different there. I'm firmly of the view there is a lot of life out there might not be like us. And I don't think it's going to be intelligent life, but I think you look at places like hydrothermal vents, deep underwater, where very toxic environments where you can find particularly bacteria, viruses, other microorganisms that we thought, no way life could be there. You just need some sort of source of energy and probably water, but not necessarily. So the argument with Jupiter's moons, which may have liquid water, the energy there won't come from the sun. The energy there will come from the gravity of Jupiter. So you're looking at all these places that, well, yeah, there could be life. Won't necessarily be us.
I was very fortunate to go down one of the world's deepest gold mines in South Africa. And in fact, in these operations, there are microbiologists working because there are seeps of water. And you can prove chemically that the water has been cut off from the rest of the world for millions of years, maybe 100 million years plus. You can tell that from the chemistry of the water. And yet when you look in this water, which in some cases is at 60 degrees centigrade, you can find it's thriving with bacterial life.
Yeah.
So people said, well, where do they come from? And when scientists unpicked this, and this was a paper in Science about 10 years ago, what they find is that there is uranium present in the ore, and the uranium is spitting out radiation, and the radiation is doing things to water molecules and giving them some energy, and the water molecules then attack minerals in the rocks and release them for these microbes to live on, and the first layer of microbes eat those, and then other microbes eat those first microbes, and you've got this whole ecosystem growing powered by radiation. So people, once they found that, they said, well, look, it's not so unlikely that you could have somewhere else in our solar system in a very inhospitable place, but it's got a nice warm interior because it's radioactive and there's life there.
Yeah, we can't answer the fundamental question of how life gets there in the first place, but there does seem to be life in the most unlikely places.
Thanks, Richard.